anything else, you do anything else, you bring it any other kind of way, amen, you done left the foundation, amen, and it's not the truth.
Can I get a witness?
Well, watch something. I'm finna close. Turn to right quick.
Watch something. I'm gonna.
Say that again.
How many think that's good?
Man. It is good. Watch something. Now watch something. I don't want to leave here. Tell your neighbor, everything is in the cross. Why? I just told you. He came in and he did what? He made a shame of the devil openly. Not only he made a shame of the devil openly, that he what? He went out there, he fought, he whooped that devil openly. He want everybody to know. He wants you to know, amen, if you keep your faith and amen in me and what I did at Calvary, I don't care what you're going through, and sooner or later you're going to do what? Get the victory.
Well, I got a problem in this and a problem in that.
Who don't?
See, you got to understand one thing. Every last one of us in here, you are not perfect.
Now come on, get that straight.
Get that straight. Get that straight.
Not perfect. We are like Christ, but we are not perfect. What makes us not perfect? Because we are fallen race of Adam and Eve. Paul said the our man what? Perish. But the inner man is renewed day by day. See, this is where we are failing, and we think we are failing God, and we are not doing enough for God because what? The enemy trying to play with our intellect, with our mind. There ain't but one thing you got to have your faith and trust in, and that's what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. Now, I don't mean no stop paying tithes. I don't mean you stop doing the activity of God. Because why? That is the love of God in you. All that comes in you when you accept him. Come on now, huh? But why? Why everything is in the cross? All right. Turn to first. I mean, I know you're going to talk to you. First, I mean, you can write it down. Your own. Look what it says. First Corinthians. For Paul says, I am what? Determined. Now, notice Paul. I am determined to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him what? Crucified. I ain't worried about preaching nothing else. I ain't worried about trying to do nothing else. All I want you to know that is what? It's all about Jesus and what he did at Calvary. It's all about Jesus, amen, and what he done at Calvary. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Come on now, huh? He said, this man here had all kinds of degrees.
But now notice, in the midst of that, what he was saying, don't you know he hadn't got the revelation yet?
That's right, the flesh got to die in order for the spirit to be. See, he was fighting you. You got to read that though. Read Romans. I tell you what, when you go home, read Romans the 6th chapter, amen, read Romans the 7th chapter and the 24th verse. Why you thought he said, oh wretched man that I am, deliver me from this body of death. You know what he was doing? He was fighting in his spirit, yet he was saved, yet he was filled with the Holy Ghost, but he was fighting, the enemy was fighting. Some preachers say he had a thorn in the flesh. That wasn't no thorn in the flesh. That was a message from Satan. In other words, that was a demon fighting him, making him feel that he was failing God. Some of us sometimes think we're failing God. So what we do to try it? Some may tell you to do more. Some may tell you, if you don't fail, well, he just ain't done enough. No, it's not. Well, he didn't do enough. Lord, and the Lord, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against power, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why I don't judge nobody Moses no more. Once you understand the book of Romans, understand, amen, the first chapter, 6th chapter, 7th chapter, then you are ready to have victory in God. Because what? In the 8th chapter of Romans, it said, Paul said, now therefore, no condemnation. Now, therefore, no condemnation. He had got the victory, what he was going through. He got the victory because he said, every time I do good, evil is always present. It seems like when I'm doing something right, and then I find myself doing something wrong, and then I go back and I come back praying, and I begin to ask God why I'm keep going through this same old shame. Oh, amen. God says, it's not time yet. I'm going to give you the
the revelation. And once you understand the revelation, then you're going to have no more guilt. You ain't got no been having no guilt, amen, about yourself. All you got to do is have faith in the cross and what Jesus did at Calvary. Then you what? Just keep on and keep on. Sooner or later, you're going to get the victory.
Oh, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Well, I ain't got to worry about nothing. If you don't think you're the product of him, why are you second man out when he pulled out in front of you the other day? If you don't think that we are product of Adam and Eve, amen, why you got all tense and got upset and lost your temper? And then someone said, well, you need to go down and let God deliver you from that. See, he can't deliver you from temper, but he can give you control over it. See, that's what he said, Paul said, dominion. See, we are not perfect, we're material. In other words, he was speaking of perfection, he's talking about maturity. Y'all got it? Maturity is growing process. How can I take dominion? I better bend that. How can I take dominion over this? Man, I've been trying hard, and it seemed like, hey, amen, I just can't quit. I don't know. And the devil fighting at the same time. God guilt that you ain't saved. You still ain't saved. Man, Paul was saved, and he was fighting. Y'all got to read it, though. Huh? Stop reading it. Amen. The reason why the cross is everything, he says over here, 1 Corinthians 1 and 17 and 18 verse. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of word, lest the cross of Christ should be made not effect. You hear that? Ain't nothing gonna be affected in your life if you don't have faith in the cross. Oh, we don't have to do it. We don't have to worry about the cross anymore. You better. The cross is the foundation. Jesus said there is no other foundation that was laid, none other than who? Jesus Christ. What he did? He hung on the cross. Huh? So that's why so many things is coming in now, trying to push us away from the cross. Ain't nothing wrong. God wants you to shout and praise him. Ain't nothing wrong in praising him. David said when you enter in his sanctuary, enter it with what? Thanksgiving and praise. But he wants us to understand the order of his word. If it's not in order, you ain't gonna get no further than where you're at. But when you start putting your faith in this and that alone, then you're going to begin to see results. You're going to begin to see that temper go down. Oh, you don't believe it. You're going to begin to see that you are less, amen, hyper. And what you call that? What you say? Hypertension. That's going to be, God, that'll get there. It's your pressure. Yeah, you're putting your pressure up. Put your pressure. They let the enemy send out a pressure. Because I crucified that stuff. How you crucified? Through that cross, through the word of God. How it's crucified? That's how it's done. Why? Because, see, we don't watch ourselves. We'll begin to put our faith in a different object, in something else. And once we put ourselves in something else, we done what? We done took our eyes on the what? Off the what? The prescribed order that was given to us through the word. Woo, hallelujah. Huh? Well, that's something. I'm closing. And he says, yes, amen. He says, for the 1 Corinthians 1 and 23. But we preach Christ. Watch up. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, amen, a stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness. They didn't want to know it. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to understand it. They wanted to do it in their own way of the law and doing it. Amen. They want to stick to the Mosaic law. They want to stick to them, amen, to all of the rituals in them, killing goats and bulls and ox. You don't have to kill that anymore. All you got to do is believe in what Jesus was. He paid it all. Yeah. He paid it all on Calvary. What you saying? That's our covering. That's the covering that we need. When you walk out here knowing that Jesus Christ did what he did, he's protecting you. All right. Covered by the blood of the Lamb. Covered by the blood of the Lamb. I preached to some preacher this summer, amen, where's the Lamb? John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which what? Take away the sin. Well, don't you see, all of those little bitty animals, all those little bitty, amen, goats and all the millions and thousands and hundred thousand of animals was sacrificed. Don't you know all that was, amen, for the coming Savior, Jesus Christ? That's what it represents. That's what it typifies. He must, when Abraham put eyes on the altar, what he had there? He had what? Wood? And fire. He said we had a wood. We had a fire. The wood represented what? Typified the cross. The fire represents the, amen, the Holy Spirit. And Isaac was the sacrifice. Woo! Who is the sacrifice? Jesus was the sacrifice. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Jesus was the sacrifice. And when this man, Zacchaeus, amen, and realized that he heard about him, amen, just when Jesus said, come down, Zacchaeus. Come down, make haste. Come down. That was something went through Zacchaeus. And the Bible says he came down that tree ricocheting. You don't hear what I'm saying. Coming down there, amen, I'm going. I want it. 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 He said, make haste and come down. It ain't going to take me long. It ain't going to be long, so I'm coming. What you want, Lord? What you need, Lord? What you want? What you want? He asked those questions. The Lord said, he had to say it twice. Amen. So we sit down, the devil get to play with our mind, and be playing with our thoughts, playing with our intellect, playing with our emotions, and he know we need God. He know we need to come down. Amen. Is accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He know you need it. Tell your neighbor, you got to come on down. You come on down, come on down. Come on down. Oh, y'all sitting back here, let y'all know. Come on down, come on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. You got to let him, huh? You got to get him. Who is that guy? I heard he said you got to get radical. You don't need to get radical. Because Paul said that same spirit that once was in Christ shall quicken your mind. You see, a lot of this stuff is emotional because we want to get behind the music. It ain't nothing wrong to get behind the music. But you got to make sure the Holy Spirit is in you that's going behind the music. Can you say amen? Oh, y'all. Huh? It's like fire, shut up in my bones. It's like fire, shut up in my bones. Fire, shut up in my bones. Holy Ghost. Oh, you blow my lung, huh? Now watch up. The Bible said, come on, Jesus said, come on down. If you hear today, you need to start making haste and come on down. I heard Pastor Keith say, hey man, you better know him. You better be ready, because as soon as you think, how many hear what I'm saying? You better say, excuse my power, that old rag-a-gag and stuff that you're throwing. You better get in a hurry, because Paul said in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
We know that the Word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this Word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you. Now there is power.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret, because he'll see about me.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 NW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
I don't know how you made it in 2013, but there are a few witnesses here who can testify that it took a lot of prayer. Amen. Anybody know that prayer will work it out? Somebody said prayer changes things. I thank God for prayer. Amen. And as I stand, I do want to wish a happy birthday to Sister Millie Green. Amen. Happy birthday to you. And then the leader of my pet ministry, as y'all call it, Sister Bill, will be celebrating her 30th birthday. She's a New Year's baby. Amen. God bless you. And to anybody else who's celebrating a birthday, happy birthday to you as well. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. And we thank you, God, because we realize that it is in you that we live and we move and we have our being. And God, apart from you, we can do nothing. Father, we ask now that you would speak a word into the hearts and into the minds of your people, that they will hear your word and know that you're God and God all by yourself. We thank you for the blessings we receive now. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. 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 I want to, on this last Sunday of 2013, I want to call your attention to the book of Joshua. Joshua and chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 8 verses of Joshua chapter 1. Amen. When you found it, say amen. If you don't have it yet, look on the screen. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister or servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then finally, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, say then, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Amen. As we close out this year of 2013, and as we prepare to cross over into the year 2014, I just have a funny feeling. I have a sneaky suspicion that the people of God in the house of God are interested in knowing how you can have a prosperous and successful new year. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Viktor Frankl said that one of the key survival techniques of the human spirit is that if one can find something to live for, if one can find something with meaning to put at the center of their lives, then even the worst kind of suffering becomes bearable. When I realize that there is something in my future that is better for me, when I have hope, I can overcome many, if not all, of life's obstacles. As I look toward my future, it is very clear to me that if I am to attain all of the promises that God has for me, if I am to reach my destiny, if I am to fulfill my life's mission, then I must be relentless in pursuit of my destiny. Because my brothers and sisters, if not, I will allow myself to be poisoned by the toxicity of my comfort zone. Too much comfort will make you sit in the same place for too long. All of us here today are aware of the fact that apathy can be a hindrance to fulfilling one's destiny. There is a spirit that pervades the body of Christ called procrastination. But the truth of the matter is that once you become aware of the purposes of God for your life, you realize that stagnation and apathy are the enemies to you reaching your destiny. Everything that God does, he does on purpose. Hunt your neighbor and tell him he does it on purpose. He knows exactly when to call us out of places of comfort and stagnation. He knows how to bring you to the right place on the right date at the right time to hear the right word to push you toward your destiny. God has already ordained something awesome and extraordinary in your life, and you're here today and you recognize and realize that every fiber in your being is agreeing with what I'm saying because God has already said it to you. And so as we prepare to enter into a new year, I stop by to tell somebody that there's something on the inside of you that is saying it's time for you to walk into your destiny. So God he's called me to speak to someone today and tell you that you need to prepare your heart, you need to prepare your mind, you need to prepare your spirit for a shift that is about to take place in your life. Is there anybody who feels it in their spirit that God is about to shift you from where you've been to something greater? Where you have been, God wants to move you from there. What you've been going through, God wants to move you from there. As a matter of fact, there's something on the inside of you that is getting ready to bring forth. It's time for it to come into fruition, for it to be made manifest, because God has placed something inside of you that is not for you. It's for the good of somebody else. It's for the good of his kingdom. And I need you to see today that what you're experiencing was in many ways the same for Joshua in our text. Joshua walked with Moses for 40 years. Joshua was born in Egypt. Therefore, Joshua experienced all of the same things that Moses experienced. Joshua experienced all of the things that the children of Israel experienced. Joshua was there during the Passover. He was there during their exodus out of Egypt. Joshua was there when God turned water into blood. Joshua was there when God covered the land of Egypt with frogs and locusts. Joshua was there when the death angel rode through Egypt's land and killed all of the firstborn who did not have the blood of the lamb on the lintel of their doorpost. Joshua was there when God wrapped himself up in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Joshua was there when they crossed the Red Sea walking on dry ground. Joshua was there as they wandered through the wilderness. Joshua was there when they came to the land of Canaan. Joshua, as a matter of fact, was one of the two spies who came back with the good report. You Bible readers will remember when Moses sent out 12. Joshua was one of the ones who came back and said, we can take the land. He said, it's not as bad as it looks. Joshua was there during intimate moments when Moses went to the mountain of God. Joshua was his servant. He was his assistant. As a matter of fact, as God used Moses to fulfill his earthly mission, Joshua was there supporting the ministry of Moses. Joshua was there undergirding the work that God had given to Moses. Joshua was there encouraging Moses and supporting Moses all of the way. He supported the vision. He supported the visionary. Can I get a witness today? And then the text lets us know that Moses died. Tell your neighbor, Moses died. My brothers and sisters, this had to be a difficult moment, a difficult time for the children of Israel, but it had to be really difficult for Joshua. It had to be almost unbearable because the one that Joshua looked up to, the one who mentored Joshua, was now dead. And I need you to understand, people of God, that if you're going to have good success, as this passage tells us, you can have good success. One of the first principles that we can glean from this passage is the principle of reciprocity. Reciprocity. Joshua, watch this. Joshua could only expect to reap the blessings of God as he had sown into the ministry of Moses. The principle of reciprocity. Yes, the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. Do I have a witness today? So many times in our lives, we want the blessings of God, but we don't realize that in order to get the blessings of God, we have to have been a blessing to somebody else. And I want to ask someone a question today. When God is ready to transition you to another level, when God gets ready to promote you to a higher place, when your time of shifting comes, will you be prepared for the shift because you've learned how to be a servant to somebody else? Oh, I ought to have one witness today. Will you be prepared for the promotion because you didn't mind serving or helping or encouraging someone else? It's funny to me, y'all, how sometimes people act like it will kill them to speak an encouraging word to somebody else. It ain't gonna take nothing. You're not gonna die if you pat somebody on the back and tell them you did a good job. It ain't gonna kill you, amen, to tell somebody you did an awesome job. You were wonderful today. But some of us get so high-minded and beside ourselves that we act like it's gonna kill us to encourage somebody else. It's funny to me how sometimes people act as though it will diminish who they are to speak well of someone else. But people of God, I've come by to tell you today that you've got to realize that the blessings of God redound to those who know how to serve somebody else. The blessings of God are bestowed upon those who don't mind being an encouragement to someone else, supporting someone else, being a blessing to someone else. And do you know what happens? Many times we cut ourselves and our children's children off from promotion and prosperity because of our evil and hard-hearted ways. So if you're going to be properly positioned for promotion and for prosperity, you need to make sure that you understand the principle of reciprocity. You shall reap what you sow. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Amen. So the first principle that we can glean from the life of Joshua is reciprocity. But then the next principle that we can get from this text as it relates to our future prosperity and our future success is the principle of responsibility. Because a lot of times we want to go higher. We want promotion. We want more. But we fail to realize that with more comes more. Do I have a witness today? Amen. More responsibility. I'm sure that Joshua must have been in a very fearful and anxious place in his life. I think we can deduce that from some of the words that we find in the text. God tells him to be strong. God tells him to be courageous. I'm sure that in Joshua's mind,